Hey, Leafs converts, hockey world, how are you? This is the Leafs Convo podcast. I'm Norman James, your host. It is great to be with you. Are you ready for the Leafs' outrageous offense and other dangerous hockey stuff tour stopping in Detroit tonight? I sure am. I can't wait to see what they have in store for us next. Mike Augello is standing by. He and I are going to talk about that on this episode of the Leafs Convo. Plus, we'll get into Morgan Rielly's greatness. Is it coming or is it already here? And the MIA superstar we all know and love and wish to see back with the Toronto Maple Leafs, the one and only Michael Nylander. Oh, I'm sorry, that's William Nylander. I'm ready to pod. I know you are too. So what do you say? Let's go. The Leafs Convo starts right now. And here he is, our podcast partner in crime, Mr. Mike Augello.
Good morning, Norman. How are you?
Not too bad. Waiting for the Maple Leafs Extreme Offense Tour to hit the Motor City. You ready for it?
Well, I mean, it's funny because everything points to, you know, a team that is winless, a team that has, I think, four of their veteran defensemen out and the injured list. Everything points to the Leafs scoring, you know, seven or more again, like they did in Chicago or like they did in Dallas. But I thought that when they played Ottawa and they lost to Ottawa. So you never know what's going to happen.
Didn't the Leafs lose one of their preseason games in Detroit?
Yeah, but that was when they were, it was the Toronto Marlies against Grand Rapids with McElhaney. And I don't even remember who was in the net for Detroit, but it was not a series. It was the last game and they just didn't want to have anybody get hurt in the last preseason game.
I was watching Leafs Nation Network, and they do a little segment where they follow the team on the road, and Paul Hendrick and whomever else is doing the piece talked about how, you know, Detroit is lively and there's so much going on, and she referenced how she didn't have to go far from the hotel to the rink. So, I mean, that was good in terms of safety, but, you know, I'm hoping that there is a nice contingent of Maple Leafs fans making their trip across the border from Windsor into Detroit to help populate that downtown a little bit, throw some money into that area that is going through a bit of a regentrification, but also be there to support a team in the Maple Leafs that hopefully will score a ton of goals, maybe limit the goals against this time.
Well, that's the funny thing. You look at that brand spanking new arena, the Little Caesars Arena, and apparently it's state of the art. It's beautiful. But one of the things is that there are so many things to do underneath the stands that you constantly see empty seats. And plus, they're one of the worst teams in the league right now, going through a rebuild without, you know, Henrik Zetterberg, whose career is over with. You know, they're sort of turning over a new leaf, generating up some young prospects, building the organization, and it's not exactly conducive to filling the seats in that brand new arena. But when the Leafs come to town, like you said, you know, people from, you know, the London area or Leaf fans in Windsor, anybody west of Toronto, where it's a 2 or 3 hour drive to Detroit and you can get tickets probably fairly easily, it's a trip worth making. So it should be an entertaining game. But like I said, you never know for sure in the NHL.
This is the Leafs Convo, Norman James with Mike Augello. We're going big on iTunes. We're big on YouTube. We're big on a lot of podcast platforms. Like, subscribe, discover what we're doing. We appreciate your support along the way. So tonight, you know, we all love to see lots of goals, Mike. I'd like to see the Leafs score 5 or 6 tonight, but have maybe 1 or 2 or none from Tavares and Matthews, and maybe more from Kadri, and maybe some from Brown, and maybe Kapanen can get on the board. He's worked really hard. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can spread the offensive wealth a little bit tonight. Not because we hate Matthews or Tavares and we don't want to see those guys reach 50, but let's just see the secondary guys chip in a little bit.
Well, you know, and people always accuse me of being a glasses half empty guy, but I honestly, like, I like to look at things and see, you know, where the imperfections are in them. And right now, you know, the Leafs, they've scored 20 goals in 4 games. You know, they're 3-1. You can't really complain about that. They've given up 17 goals, the most in the NHL. But if you look at the offense, 18 of the 20 goals they've scored, Matthews or Tavares has been on the ice. And I think it's 17 of the 20 have come from Matthews, Tavares, Marner, or Morgan Rielly. They're not getting a lot of secondary scoring. And right now, I'm sure people are saying, I don't care. They're winning and they're scoring. But eventually, you know, Austin Matthews is not going to score at a 2 goals per game clip. He's just not going to do it. So you need Kadri to start generating offense. And, you know, in the last game against Dallas, you know, Hainsey gets a goal from at the point. that's a random occurrence. Connor Brown gets a empty net goal. So there it's starting to germinate a little bit, but you do need the Kadri line to sort of score a little bit. You need that fourth line to kick in a goal every once in a while. You need the defense to step up a little bit offensively every once in a while. You need that to happen. You cannot rely on those guys all the time because eventually a team is going to shut them down for a game or two.
What do you think Mike Babcock is thinking right now? He loves so many aspects of this team, and he's going to rely on guys like Matthews and Tavares to pull the ship along when things go rough. He's also going to count on those guys we don't hear from on many a night to step up when the top guys are lacking puck luck.
I think he's going to ride the offensive wave until it comes crashing. I mean, and that's, I guess it's the smart thing to do, because remember last year, first four games of the year, they had scored 7 in Winnipeg. They had 8 in their home opener against the Rangers. They actually scored more goals in the first four games last year than they did this year. And they were 3-1 at the time. And you know, it only came to bite them a little bit during the month, but as the season went from October to November and then throughout the season, you know, teams, the goaltenders get sharper, the defenses, you know, tighten up a little bit, the penalty killing gets better. It's not going to be this easy to score goals. I mean, it's going to be easier for them than other teams because there's a lot of offensive talent, but it's not going to be this easy to just play fire wagon 80s style hockey and be able to win. Eventually, they're going to have to be a little bit more defensively responsible and realize that it's going to be tougher to put pucks in the net. So I think he's just going to let things go as they are, as he did last year. But eventually, you know, it's the teams are going to have to tighten up, and the Leafs will have to be, they'll have to follow suit as well.
One thing we should point out to the rest of the NHL, you will not win a scoring contest against these Maple Leafs.
No, if you play open hockey, if you play wide open offensive hockey, there are not many teams in this league that could compete on that level with Toronto as they're currently constructed. You know, Dallas is one of them. They're more, you know, if you look at their roster, they're more all their eggs in one basket with that Radulov, Ben, Sagan line. I mean, Winnipeg can play that game. Maybe Edmonton can play that game. Two or three other teams. But that's about it. If anybody tries to get into a scoring contest with the Leafs, you're going to lose. But again, wide open offense is not what you see in the playoffs. So that's why eventually this team will tighten up a little bit.
The playoffs aren't anywhere near.
Right.
The Leafs are still playing this style of hockey, reckless, fun, exhilarating, scintillating, by the seat of their pants in March, late February. Then we should sound the alarm bells and raise cause for concern. In the meantime, perhaps we just get our popcorn, enjoy the show. And my question is, you know, how many of these teams are they going to beat down until they finally come back down to earth?
Well, the interesting contest, I mean, I think they'll win tonight, but stranger things have happened in Detroit against the division matchup. You know, could always rise to the occasion, or, you know, Freddie Anderson doesn't have a great game or something like that, that could get Detroit to score more goals and win the game over the Leafs. But the game, I think the first test for this organization is going to be on Saturday when they play in Washington against the Cup champ Capitals. You know, this is a team that was hardened and tested in the crucible of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They won the Cup. They're pretty much the same team. It'll be a good measuring stick for the Leafs. And the thing they have to be concerned with, as they should have been concerned with after the outings in Chicago and on Sunday and in Dallas on Tuesday, is the defense. Is, you know, Ron Hainsey was exposed by Tyler Seguin on that one goal. You know, the penalty killing has not been, I mean, it's been okay. It hasn't been as good as I thought it would be. So there are defensive concerns. And, you know, there was another, you know, Gardner, Zaitsev, kerfuffle in Dallas. So, I mean, really, this is where, you know, when the team tightens up, the forwards will help out these defensemen more. And I think right now that's what's needed. But right now they smell blood. They want to score goals. It could be a wide open affair because Washington will want to play that way too, that it'll be a track meet. It could be a track meet. It could be a very entertaining game.
I just don't see how any team in its right mind would look at the Maple Leafs and say, bring them on. Bring them on. We'll take them. We'll take them down. We'll figure it out.
Well, I mean, you're right, but it's like a team like Washington, who, you know, now, I'm not saying they're full of themselves. They have every reason to be confident because they won a cup. They finally got through. I mean, one of the first games was a 7-6 game against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. You know, it's like they're playing with house money right now. It's like, okay, regular season, we know we're going to be in the playoffs. Let's have some fun. And when you see a team coming in that scored 20 goals in the first four games, and you know, you have the leading scorer and the leading point getter in the NHL in Austin Matthews, along with Morgan Rielly, when you have four players in the top 10, as the Leafs do right now, you know, the Capitals are going to say, okay, we have to rise to the challenge here. Let's see. Let's have some fun. Let's go out. And I think it could be a very entertaining game. Now, it also could be, let's shut them down and let's win 2-1 like they did in the playoffs. And it could be a very boring game. So we'll see. But I think that the thing that we sort of have to recognize from at least the road games here and is that once Kasperi Kapanen was moved up to the top line with Matthews and Marleau, it made a difference. And I think, you know, Tyler Ennis has played pretty good on the fourth line since then, which is what I thought he was signed for in the first place. But the William Nylander camp has got to be worried now, because if they keep Kapanen there, and I think they will for the foreseeable future, and Kapanen continues to score at the rate that he's scoring and he blends well with Matthews, any leverage that Nylander had is absolutely gone, because, you know, they're saying, okay, William, you want $8 million? Well, go and get it someplace else. You're not getting it from Toronto. You're going to get what we're offering you, or, you know, have your agent go out there and search for a trade. Cause that might be the case.
You know, the Nylander stuff is almost as ridiculous as these stupid rumors Arizona offer sheeting Matthews and the Leafs. Absolutely foolish. Anybody who even thinks that's something that will come to fruition and the Leafs will lose their guy, is just forget about it, man. It's almost impossible to have nice things.
William Nylander has got two priorities. One, he wants to get paid. Two, he wants to stay in Toronto. If he wants to stay in Toronto, he is not going to get paid as much as he would be if he was the top player on the Detroit Red Wings or a team that's sort of in the middle of the NHL. You know, the Leafs are set for a course of, you know, 5 to 7 years of being one of the better teams in the league and a contender, you know, if they fill some other holes. And if he wants to go along with the ride, he's going to have to take a little less. Now, if he doesn't want to do that, that's fine. I understand it completely. You know, the career of most NHLers is finite. It's, you know, 10 to 12 years at the most. And if he wants a situation where he's going to make the most money possible, I completely understand that. But he's not going to be able to do that in Toronto. And it's going to either go down as he takes a bridge deal, or he takes a longer term deal at a little lesser amount, a little bit of a haircut. If he does either one, I don't think he's finishing out either one of those contracts in Toronto, unless the deal is so economical on a long term deal that it's just too good to give up. But, you know, if he signs a bridge deal 2 or 3 years, at the end of that bridge deal, he's going to expect, and if he has good years, he's going to expect to make as much money as Matthews and Marner. And that's not happening because they can't afford it. So that's why I think, you know, this is a short-term thing with Nylander. He's going to sign eventually. But I think a year or two down the road, I think he's going to be the piece that they move to get that defenseman that they need.
I don't know. Nylander's getting on my nerves.
Right now they're talking two different languages, because from all the reports, and it's funny because the agent isn't saying anything, the team isn't saying anything. So it's basically third party, and we don't know how accurate this is, but from insiders who I completely trust, who don't put out disinformation, the number for Nylander's deal starts with an 8, and the Leafs are talking about something starting with a 6. So you're talking about $1 million to $1.5 million difference on a long-term deal. If that stays, then I think that the compromise, even though it doesn't suit both of them, is the 2 to 3 year bridge deal. And if that happens, you know, then it's not perfect, because as we saw with other bridge deals, like, Kucherov or Ryan Johansson or PK Subban, after 2 or 3 years, if those players have really good years, then he's going to expect to make nine, 10 mil, or, $8, $9 million, and the Leafs won't be able to pay that. But I think right now it's the most important thing is to get him signed and get him signed for the most economical deal you can get possible.
Mike, can the sixth best player on your team be making $8 million a season? Because here's my rankings now. Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Riley, Anderson, Nylander. The longer he stays out, the further down the list he's going to go. How on earth does the sixth best player on your team, because that's what he is now, make $8 million a season? And what kind of bad blood is this going to create between the Leafs and, the family? If Michael Nylander's as involved as we've heard he is, Michael might rip back a stiff drink and say, "All right, take it, William, but
Well,
we're going to take it to these guys down the line."
I think that right now, I don't know what the feelings on the Nylander side, but I think the Leafs are approaching this in a very business-like way in terms of asset management. You have to treat it that way. I mean, they're looking at the situations with Marner and Matthews next summer, and they know that this is going to be sort of like a signal to them. And we don't know what's going to happen there. I think that they're not going to hold back in terms of signing Matthews long term for as much as as long as they can for as little as they can. That's just the nature of negotiations. But with Nylander, I think they want to get him signed. They want to get him signed to as economical a deal as possible. And then a year or two down the road, maybe even sooner, they evaluate, okay, we know it's going to be a situation where if he's on a bridge deal, he's going to expect to get paid a lot of money, and can we afford to pay him a lot of money? And that's when, you evaluate whether that asset can stay and they can afford to keep him, or that asset needs to go and they need to address other areas. That's the approach that the Leafs are taking. I think they just want to get him signed for the best deal possible.
When John Tavares was mulling joining the Maple Leafs in the offseason, do you think he called William Nylander and asked if he's going to sign long term? Or do you think he may have had that conversation with Austin Matthews?
From what I understand, from what
You
I
know the
understand,
answer to that, Mike.
well, he talked to Matthews. I think I don't know how many players. I know he talked to Matthews. I know he talked to Marner. But I don't know whether he talked to Nylander. But I'm sure that, I mean, the whole point of this was, you're joining a team that's going to have multiple weapons, and that's the whole point that the Leafs are trying to do. They're trying to maintain those multiple weapons. They're trying to keep them as long as possible. To have the greatest success. So, I don't minimize the importance of William Nylander on this roster, but I think he is minimizing his own importance by him not being here and by him allowing, him by not being in camp, not signing, and now Kasperi Kapanen is getting an opportunity to play in his place. And if Kapanen continues to succeed, then it just shows, okay, well, we can do without William Nylander. It's not as important to sign him to that long-term deal. Maybe we take the bridge, and maybe we reevaluate his spot in this organization going forward.
All I can say to William Nylander and his camp, you do you. If you think it works for you, you do you. Somebody who's moved up past him on my Maple Leaf player rankings took a haircut of about a few seasons ago, last season, in signing a longer-term deal. And, it looks like he's coming around in Morgan Riley. Joe Bowen made a point in some Leafs coverage on Leafs Nation Network that it's possible that stalwart number one ace Norris Trophy candidate type defenseman the Leafs have always been looking for has been under their nose all along in Morgan Riley. The jury's still out on that, but number 44, it's really hard to criticize him whatsoever, man. That guy works his ass off, and he is on that ascent, Mike. He truly is one of those guys who gets better as he plays. He's 24. He's played, what, 400 career games? Man, oh, man. We talk about Tavares. We talk about Matthews. We'd like to have Nylander here. We'd love Marner, Freddie Anderson, all these other guys. But the Leafs are extremely lucky to have Morgan Riley.
I've always been a fan of Morgan Riley's skill set, and I think he's putting it together. But to Joe Bowen's point, yes, he might be a number one defenseman, but that means now you need a number two, because that's not the point is that this team needs at least one and maybe two top four defensemen. And if you have Morgan Riley as your number one, then you need a number two. And if you have Morgan Riley as your number two, then you need a number one. It's that you need that counterpart to play with Riley, because Ron Hainsey, as we've seen in the first few games, and this might change as the season rolls along, he can't keep up with it. I think he's better suited to being a specialist, a bottom pairing guy, a guy with penalty kills, and not playing 22 minutes a night. Now,
Michael, I gave you the floor to praise Morgan Riley.
And I did.
But with the anxiety of a Yankee fan and that half glass empty approach, we're talking about Ron Hainsey 30 seconds in. But I hear your point.
A little note for tonight's game, just to mention as a sign of it being as a sign of possibly Detroit winning instead of Toronto, Martin Marincin is back in the lineup for Igor Ozaganov. So that means Marincin playing on the bottom pairing with Travis Dermott. I didn't particularly think he played well in Chicago, but Babcock seemed to think so. So this just perpetuates the situation where they're doing a rotation, Ozaganov in, Marincin in. I'm sure Justin Hall will get an opportunity pretty soon to show his wares. But right now, the defense on this team is not settled. Morgan Riley's had a great start. I think Zaitsev's played a little better. I've been impressed with Travis Dermott so far. Gardner has not played well at all. Neither has Hainsey.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's tough to find the chinks in the armor of a team that is leading the NHL in goals and is 3-1, but they're also leading the NHL in goals allowed with 17, and they're allowing a lot of shots as they did last year. So that's where this team needs to look to improve as the season goes forward.
Rob Pamanti on Twitter, the Leafs should trade for Danny DeKeyser, question mark. He could give them another solid defender who would play tough in front of Anderson and take a big load off Ron Hainsey. You know, maybe the Leafs can go into Detroit tonight and grab Danny DeKeyser, a couple of hot and ready, some crazy bread, and get out of there.
I'll give you one little nugget, and I don't think it's going to happen, but this is the type of situation that I think the Leafs will be looking for. Carl Alsner, who last year was one of the two or three free agent defensemen that were on the radar, and there was some talk about the Leafs potentially being interested, but they didn't go down that road. They ended up signing Ron Hainsey. He has been a healthy scratch for the Canadiens for their first two games. He's under contract three more years, and the salary's in the fours. It's not an outrageous salary. He's still a pretty good defenseman, but we know right now that Montreal is basically in a rebuild situation. Weber may be coming back sooner than people think, but it doesn't make sense for them to be benching Carl Alsner, who's still a pretty good NHL defenseman. So these are situations where maybe not right now, but later on in the year, situations like this where teams are playing young players and they have players with salary, that the Leafs might say, okay, there's a guy that we can put in our top two pairings who can help us now and help us going forward. Because I think the other condition of the Marner, Matthews, Nylander situation is Jake Gardner is going to not get enough. There's not gonna be enough room to fit Jake Gardner in the salary structure next year. So I think that's one of the things where the Leafs are gonna look for a player who's got term on his deal to replace Gardner in their top four. I don't think they'll trade Gardner, unfortunately, because maybe they would, but I think that's what they're gonna look for before the deadline.
A team that's scored more goals than any in the NHL still has so much drama surrounding it. Thankfully, it's not social drama and, players getting into accidents and fights and stuff. It's pretty much hockey related. And whether we like it or not, there's stuff to talk about. These are the Maple Leafs. And wouldn't it be nice if they go into Detroit tonight and say, hey, this is an inferior team. Instead of just blowing them out, let's play a solid hockey game and beat them 3-1. Wouldn't that be fun?
It would.
All right. Have yourself a good one, Mike.
Thanks, Norm.
That's a wrap for this edition of the Leafs Convo podcast. At Mike in Buffalo, at Norman James TLC, at the Leafs Convo. If you want to get at us on Twitter, you can also say your piece through the YouTube comment section. Oh, while you're on YouTube, check out Jillian McLeod's latest game changer. She's doing a great job with that. And of course, Prospect Prince, KO, and his take on the Toronto Marlies. He's off and running with that particular segment on the YouTube channel, and he's just getting started. For Mike Augello and Norman James, we'll talk to you soon. The Leafs Combo is outie.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.